the heck is that? I'm coming. I'm coming. Chill, chill. Oh, man, these guys. No, yo, if I'm laying down, God, I'm chill. My
Coach's Challenge Podcast. Challenge the call.
You saw Patrick Williams last night?
I mean, listen. I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning and I added him in LOM. So whatever he did last night, I mean, well, whatever he did in his past game, he merits an add today. So that's why I picked him up, and I hope he sticks, because he is a good player. You know, he was coming off the bench in college or whatever, and we was trolling him or whatever. But like I told you, the kid has good size and he can shoot. As long as you can shoot in the NBA, you got a spot, and it's a matter of time until he figures it out.
He has a mid range, and he has a little 3-point shot too. Yeah. But more specifically, I'm good for him is that he has a mid range shot.
To me, he even though he has good size, in my opinion,
he does.
He looks a little out of shape though to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I feel like he could get more solid. I feel like once he does that, it should take him to another level.
But I feel like that's most younger players in the NBA. Like maybe they're not like
Okoro looks like he's
no
perfect.
Yeah
no, no. But what I'm saying,
Okoro looks like he was getting ready for the NBA for like
he looked like he was getting ready for the NBA since he came out of his mother. But what I'm saying is like there are some people like their college regimen, even like their regiment when they were in from like for college from AAU all up into college, yeah. It hasn't been that like heavy on like building the body. It's basically just breaking down and getting the mechanics right. And so like once they get into the NBA, that's why it's such a difficult transition for some people because they have to get to that physicality.
Yeah. Garland is one of those, bro. Garland looks like he's fucking anything. He looks like he's crossing on a fast break. He looks like he's crossing the street timidly. Like he could get hit by a car. But anybody could just bump him and he flies out the court, bro. I'm telling you, I fear for that kid because he has to get a little stronger. First of all, he doesn't get to the line, you know, and that comes with getting stronger. You have to be willing to take hits. You know, his body can't take hits right now.
Look,
but anyway, enough about Garland.
If I was a rookie in the NBA, I would go train with Harden because, like, I'm trying to – I don't need to learn
that left-handed crossover.
No. Well, I don't need to learn that. like I don't need to copy him. The only thing I need to learn is how the hell do you get to the foul line so many times? Like, if my shot starts to not fall, like I can need to fall back on that. So I'm gonna learn everything I can to get to.
But even that, Lamont, you see Harden's body. You see how full he is. How you know he's. He's not a slim guy. You can tell he can take the hits. He can take, you know, whatever foul. Even though a lot of the calls he gets are like the referee just giving it to him. I don't know what it is. Maybe because he's not a physical player.
It's the way it's the way he does it. He makes it like, I agree. Like when you look at it again, like
he tricks the referee, bro.
Yeah, and that's why I would like to train with him. Like, yo, how do you get to the right angles where the referee is?
Yeah.
Where they see and they like, oh, he hits you. Like, I would be like, that's what I need.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of players. I heard LeBron talking about that. Where you know you get to the point in your career where you know exactly where the referees stand. You know what angles they got, and you know where you can how you can you know. Get the foul in order to get the call so that it looks like a foul to the referee in that angle, you know, stuff like that. So that all comes with experience. Speaking of the Nets, you're right, man.
First of all, I don't feel bad for them for how they did my Sixers.
First of all, Lamont.
Okay. Okay.
What? I knocked out early last night, so I don't really know what happened. I don't really know what happened with the Nets. All I know is that I got a notification saying Kevin Durant. No, I got a notification saying the starting lineup for the Nets, right? I saw Kevin Durant on it, and I was like, okay, this is going to be a good game. All of a sudden, the game was at 7:30. I got the notification like at 7:20.
And KD was nowhere to be found.
But check this out. At 7:38, which is normally the tip-off, like the game is scheduled at a certain time, and then they tip off like 10 or 15 minutes later. At 7:30, at 7:20, I get the notification of the lineup. Kevin Durant is in it. 7:30, the game starts. 7:38, I get another notification right before tip-off saying KD is out. So I'm like, what was up with that? I didn't watch the game. I was watching the Cavs. So if y'all could fill me in on the whole Kevin Durant story.
All right. So, you know, they have to do their little COVID protocols before every game and make sure that they have a full team.
I saw him walking into the arena. They showed him as the game was starting. They showed him coming in with his mask and all that. He was walking inside the arena. So I'm thinking everything is all good.
Yeah. So he was good for a minute, like everybody else. But KD was with somebody who had an inconclusive COVID test, and so because KD came out negative from their first initial test, they were like, "All right, he should be fine." But after the game had started, the person that he was with, their inconclusive test came out positive. And so to make sure that everything was okay, they had to get KD out of there. James Harden wasn't happy, and I'm pretty sure the Nets weren't happy. But like I said, I'm okay with it because they did it to my Sixers, and we actually had time for them to just be like, wait, let's not. Like, they actually already started the game. Points already on the board and stuff like that, and they had enough players technically, so they couldn't postpone the game. It sucks not to have another one of your stars, but you had enough players. And again, like I said, the game already started.
So what was the issue? That Harden was tight?
Yeah, Harden was tight, and then they didn't like the fact that KD started the game, and then like before the first quarter was even over, they took him out. I don't remember.
But he still played, right? He came because then he come off the bench or something.
I don't think so, because I did not watch the game. I think he only played in that first part. Let me see.
Oh, so he played and then they yanked him out.
Yeah, he
didn't start the game, and he came out. He came off the bench. I mean,
he came off the bench.
Yeah, he came. Then he came off the bench.
And he was playing.
Yeah, I saw him on the court. I saw him.
And then I think by the third quarter, they notified him like, "Yo, that the person that was testing inconclusive just tested positive."
Yeah.
So you got to bounce.
So you got to bounce. Yeah. Okay. What? I mean, well, the NBA messed up, right? Because
they should, if they took him out, they shouldn't have brought him back in. It's like, once you do that, like, if you're still waiting on the test, like, until they got that confirmation, they shouldn't have brought him back.
Because the NBA.
Well, this is what they're trying to say. The reasoning behind it was because he got tested three times that day before the game, and all of his tests came back negative. So in their frame of thinking, they're like, you've got three negative tests on a player and you have an inconclusive test on the person in question. That's not even a player, just someone that he just came in contact with. Mm-hmm. So the thinking behind that is like the testing shows that it's like, you know what? He should be able to play, but that's still a decision. If you're, you know, if you go on the cautious side, you know, you would say, listen, you know, that guy is inconclusive. So if we don't want to take any chances.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think.
I honestly believe, but me personally, I think it was all due to the status of who Kevin Durant is to the NBA. Yeah. Because I think he wouldn't have gotten this would have been a no brainer, and it would have taken caution if it was, you know, like a role player, you know, or somebody, you know, coming off the bench, you know, yeah, like somebody that has a lot of, you know,
like a Julius Randle.
You know what I mean?
If it was Okoro, he wasn't coming back in that game after the first thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like something like that. Like, you know, if it was Staturansky, like he's not coming in the game. Like he's like, nah, man, you know, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
and I kind of feel like because they ended up losing that game. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like
it threw off their rhythm because they think they have KD, they lose him, he comes back, and then they don't have him again. It throws things off. Like they should, like once they took him out from the first quarter, like even if like his stuff still came out negative, and they were still waiting on the other person's results. Until you got the other person's results, if you felt some type of way, you shouldn't have brought him back. And if in other, and then in defense of keeping KD in, once you got his, like you said, it was like his three test results, and it still came back negative, you just keep him in the game. Like, it sounds fucked up, but he's already had contact with the majority of the players that are on the court right now, right? So
yeah, that's fucked up.
It's already too late. Like, just let him finish the game at that point. Like,
well, I kind of have, I'm going to have a little sympathy for the NBA because this is a first. These are all firsts for the NBA, this whole COVID thing, pandemic. So they're going through it. They're trying to get through it. They're trying to do it the best way possible. So I'm not saying that they should get a pass because, bro, you have procedures. You have a guidelines to follow, you know, and you should follow it to the fullest because you're playing with, you're playing with other people's lives, you know, because this is a deadly virus. It has killed many people, so you don't wanna take a chance to that, you know, because right now the NBA is no different than Rudy Gobert right now, you know. Rudy Gobert was toying with it. The NBA right now is toying with it. They shouldn't have. If the person Kevin Durant was with, they didn't know their results yet. They should have waited, and they should, you know, the reason why they're doing this season period is for the money, because they need the money. Right there, the NBA showed how hungry for the money it is by, you know, letting Kevin Durant come in and play the game saying. At all.
You're right. But my thing is, though,
it's for the money, bro.
I wonder how they would have handled this if it was at the bubble. Because if you remember, you know.
Well, in the bubble, he would have never been.
People couldn't go. Nah, but a lot of people, you know, if you broke protocol, you don't play. If you came in contact with somebody, you know, it doesn't matter when you got in contact. The moment is notified, you could be out there in the court like Kevin Durant's issue. You don't play, you know. So my thing is that. I think that they did a good job. And you know what? I'm not giving any excuses to the Nets. I would give an excuse to, let's say, the Bulls if they lost LaVine or the Cavs if they lost, you know, Sexton and Garland right there mid-game, you know. But, you know, come on now. It's the Brooklyn Nets. They have, you know, Kyrie and they have James Harden.
They already have two, right?
James Harden, James Harden, you know, was leading the league in scoring for like the last 5 years.
Like, y'all don't need, y'all can miss Kevin Durant.
Oh, no.
Y'all can miss Kevin Durant Ravens. For one game. Like,
yeah, you know, I agree.
So, and, you know, you have players that could score.
Migs, the reason why, one of the reasons why I say it's about the money only is because I know a person that works, you know, he got a 9-to-5 and he decided to take the COVID test during the time that you know, it took like a few weeks to get the results. There were no rapid tests, no rapid results, whatever, boom, boom. Gotcha. So he took the test and he told me that, you know, his job called him and said, after a couple of days, and said, listen, we're going to put you on the schedule. We need you to work. And he told them that he still hasn't gotten his results. They asked him if he felt any symptoms. He said no. So they put him on the schedule. And him, in the fear of losing his job, he went to work. He went to work. And I told him, yo, your job could get in so much trouble right now. You feel me? So it's like, you know, the NBA right now can get a lot of heat if Kevin Durant's friend comes out positive. And let's say Kevin Durant takes another test and let's say he comes out positive or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they could get a lot of heat.
Or like, anybody or any of those players that were playing last night on their next test, if they come out positive.
And people, you know, people don't know this. I don't know if people
do. It could be a snowball effect.
Yeah, people don't know this, you know. But I know
chill,
that,
man.
I know that we know it. But yo, remember, you know, teams could file complaints against the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was playing, you know, the other franchise, and you know, the NBA just let a player that it could have been, had COVID because of contact tracing, and you let him play, and now he came out positive, you know. I have a business too. You know, the NBA has a business, but I also have a business as the organization of a franchise. If you, you know, put, you know, my players in jeopardy, well then, you know, I who's to say that I wouldn't want to pull out and just be like, you know what? I'm withholding all my players for the rest of the season. Like my team, like my franchise is not going to play for the rest of the season. Just to be like, you know, like you guys kind of almost screwed me, you know? So like, no, they're not playing for the rest of the season. You know, that, and then that could just create a lot more bigger headaches down the road. So you're right about that. I think the NBA just, you know, looked after their business and looked after the safety of other players and their franchises and said, no, you know, Kevin, you're gonna have to, you know, leave. I, you know, franchise and the company trumps over, you know, who the best players are.
Well, yeah. Thank God they were playing against the Toronto Raptors, because I feel like a Canadian organization is going to be a lot more forgiving. Because I feel like if it was any of the American teams, like I feel like,
you know,
even if they won, they'd be like, "How dare they bring Kevin Durant back into the game with his unclear COVID test and put my players in? I am compiling all the complaints."
Bro, the country of Canada said that the Toronto Raptors cannot play any home games in their stadium. They effectively closed the border on them. They said, "You stay over there." So, I mean, you already know. But listen, what about these all-star selections, man? Because I feel like all we spoke about really was the East, and mainly about the Knicks. And come to find out, a couple of days later, the first returns come back, and you know, it's exactly kind of sort of what we expected.
Except for Carl.
No. Like I said, it's what we expected. We expected Carl to be wrong. You know, it's simple. It's simple and plain.
Like I said last podcast.
10 times the voting, by the way, 1,000,000 to 100,000. 10 times the popularity.
Migs, like I said last podcast, a tourist is not gonna go onto NBA.com, sign in, go to the All-Star voting page, and scroll all the way down and pick Julius Randle. No, they are gonna pick the three familiar faces that they see at the top. Those guys are deserving, unless you're going directly to go to vote for Julius Randle, and that means you're probably a Knicks fan. That means you're probably delusional, and that means you probably your vote shouldn't even count. So you know, but anyway,
all votes matter. What do you mean?
All votes matter. And my man Colin Sexton got a couple of votes, so he's up there. He's top 7 in votes in guards. So let's get it. You know, as long as they keep winning, you know, he's deserving of a spot on the All-Star game.
The one thing I was surprised about, like I said, I agreed with you guys that Kyrie's stock with like his popularity would fall, but I didn't think it would fall as much as this. And like, he's still up there, but like, Beal has a lot more votes than him.
Yeah, Beal's situation is crazy, because he's been deserving of an All-Star.
Oh, no, yeah, most definitely.
But the Wizards keep being trash every year.
I'm mad that they fronted on my man Zach LaVine.
I told you, I feel like Zach definitely deserves it, but like I did not think he was gonna be that high up there. I don't.
You know who I'm surprised? You know who I'm surprised is not in here? Or actually is in here from the West. Like, they still voting for CJ McCollum. I mean, shouts out to CJ McCollum, but
it's a wrap, man. Speedy recovery. Yo, he killed my my FIBA team.
Killed my FIBA team. Recovery, but
yo,
he killed my FIBA team. I hope he does well.
Let me change the subject slightly. Yeah. You know, because we are talking about the All-Star game.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say, because I agree. We shouldn't have one.
I mean, that's kind of what like LeBron is saying. Listen, you know,
yeah, but you know what?
LeBron definitely said.
I'm glad you brought that up, man. Yo, yes, you should have one. Why? Because it just should happen. You know, give the NBA off. You know, for like the entire week. Give the players off for the entire week, but then still have an All-Star game, you know, because at the end of the day, it's for the fans. Everybody here, LeBron's thinking about himself because he damn well done finished, you know. I'm sorry. Next time, LeBron, if you tired right now, maybe you shouldn't have won that championship in October.
He said, I have zero energy and zero excitement about an All-Star game this year.
That doesn't mean that he's not going to play. And that doesn't mean that
he'll definitely play. I'm standing by De'Aaron Fox. I don't think he's salty about not being up there in the votes. I think that what he said is
he's so
true.
Salty.
He is.
Stop that. He is very salty. Because like I looked over at De'Aaron Fox, and I'm like, bruh, come on.
But like, all right, how can I word this?
Sacramento King player.
But I think that's the reason why he's salty. Like, I don't think he's just salty just because of him not getting like the. I guess it's like a byproduct of just him not getting the attention that I still think that he deserves. But it's like the fact that you're on the Sacramento Kings, that is managed horribly, and so. I'm still a very big fan of De'Aaron Fox. Like, there are some flaws in his game, but I do believe that he should be in the conversation of possibly being eligible for an All-Star reserve position at this point in his career from what he's done, just based on, unfortunately, being on the Sacramento Kings.
I mean,
if he's on a different franchise, he might be a little bit higher. I don't think he'd be a starter or anything like that. But
let's name some point guards. Let's name some point guards out in the West. Mm-hmm. You've got Steph Curry. Right, you've got Ja Morant out there. You know, you have. I would even venture to say that this guy's been playing a little bit better than him as a point guard. You got Dame Lillard out there, but that's not what I'm talking about. Bro. I'm talking about now. You got John Wall out there, mm-hmm. and I think he's been playing a lot. You know, a lot better than this guy. You've got a lot of point guards out there that are winning.
I agree.
In a bad spot to begin with. And then he comes in the fact that he's, you know, playing Sacramento.
Yo, De'Aaron
Fox. I just think he deserves to be in the conversation. But I don't think he's going to get that, mainly because he's on the Sacramento Kings.
The Sacramento Kings are 10-11 right now. They're out of the playoff picture, you know, for the time being. So and also De'Aaron Fox is not, he hasn't raised his game from last year.
I agree.
You know, this year he's still averaging 22, 3, and 6 assists. But you know, the year before he was averaging 21, 3, and 6. You know, so he only raised his point average by one, and the Kings aren't winning. So why should I vote for him? I didn't vote for him last year. Why should I vote for him this year?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, look at the roster of the Kings. Did that team get better?
Did they fix it?
But no, I mean, they've gotten better. They have the personnel, but like you can't do anything with your coaching staff the way it is and management. It's the same people who are steering that wheel. And it's
You got De'Aaron Fox, you got Buddy Hield, you got those two guys. Those are your blocks, the ones you got to build around, right? And they haven't done.
You got Marvin Bagley and you got Raquan Holmes. You could build
Marvin Bagley hasn't developed. Marvin Bagley hasn't developed the way everybody expected him to develop. You know, he had
But whose fault is that? It's not his fault. It's
the management of the team.
It's like Lamont says. It's the management of the team.
Man, at some point the players gotta start taking stuff personal and start playing and raise their game, because De'Aaron Fox should not be averaging the same stats that he was averaging last season. Buddy Hield is another guy. I got both of them in LOM, and that's the reason why I'm the ninth seed, because those two guys, they're not playing, like, they're not taking it to another level, in my opinion. You know, I got to see Buddy Hield's numbers.
I've always said that there's a
they just stay the same.
Yeah, there's a difference in the NBA when you're playing to just play a game and when you're playing because you're trying to win, you know, a bigger game, you know, later on down in the playoffs. You know, that's the makeup of teams. It's either you have it or you don't. And no, you're right. Sacramento really isn't playing for anything. They're just playing to just
Buddy Hield got worse, bro. Buddy Hield went from 19 points per game last season to 16 this year. He's averaging one less assist.
Look. What's his name?
Not to mention, they got, you know, they added Halliburton.
Sacramento.
They have a good team. They have actually, you know, if you really think about it, they have one of the younger, better young. On paper, they have a young, very young core that they could mold into a championship, more so than a lot of other teams. But they're just not going to go anywhere, unfortunately.
There's nothing in Sacramento that's attractive right now to me. No player. No player that I can go, yo, you know, De'Aaron Fox, and he's not even. He, like I said, he didn't even raise his game from last season. So
Like I said, I still like the personnel. I feel like they need a coach that's really good at development. Luke Walton is not it. I feel like they also need to get rid of majority of the front office, because the majority of them are still the ones there from the Boogie Cousins era who freaking had Boogie Cousins, and instead of focusing on getting him a point guard or anything else, they're like, let's just keep drafting other centers to go around with our all-star center.
All right.
That Kings organization.
I mean, a lot of teams. Well, you know, we all know, because we're in fantasy league. Some people make some bad decisions. Very, very bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and Sacramento Kings is one of them. But listen, what do you all think about this front court for the West? I kind of like it. You know who I'm surprised out of everybody? Andrew Wiggins.
I knew it. Everybody said, Lamont, you're an idiot. Why'd you get him? First of all, he was available, and he doesn't. See, the thing about Andrew Wiggins is he is not. He does not have a killer mentality, and he cannot beat your star.
Yo, he's Canadian, man.
Yeah. And as much as people want to put it on Cat and things like that, yes, Cat was a star, but, like, he was considered a star on that team as well, and that pressure was too much for him. He doesn't have that pressure on the Warriors, and when you're, even without Klay, just having Steph there, like, that opens up the floor a lot, so.
He had Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns. When has he ever had pressure? He's never had pressure.
No, because Jimmy.
When he got drafted, he was on a team with LeBron James. He has never had pressure in the NBA.
No, if he would have stayed, I honestly feel like if he would have stayed in the Cavs, he would have been probably a lot better off in his career than where he is right now. They legitimately gave him I don't want to say the opportunity. They treated him like he was supposed to be that second guy with Cat. That's why when they did that trade, they didn't get rid of him. They got rid of LaVine, which in retrospect, you would probably have wanted to keep LaVine instead of Andrew Wiggins with that team. They made him as a second star. And, like, Jimmy Butler, he knows what he is, right? He is a star, but he knows that if he's playing with other stars, he knows they are the star, and he caters to them. That's why he worked well with my 76ers. That's why he worked well when he was on the Bulls.
He didn't work well with Derrick Rose.
I don't understand this.
No, yes, he did until Derrick Rose started to be,
you know,
until
what?
His injury started hurt. To build up. Yeah, because then
Andrew
Wiggins,
I'm confused by this, but I guess he's just a popular player. He's a very popular player dropping. But no, right now his points.
He's not doing as good as last season.
The last 4 years.
No, yeah, not last season, but I'm talking. But his efficiency, like his efficiency is a whole lot better. His efficiency is definitely a hell of a lot better.
And last season, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is, but But he's doing about the same, and he's doing about the same, and he's averaging less points, and that's because he's in a system.
He's in a better system.
He's in a better system. He got Steph. He got Kelly Oubre, which Kelly Oubre is a stud.
That's my lesbian.
Mix, you used to joke on Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre has come to haunt you, boy.
I told you. What do you mean? I told you. I was the one that told you that. Listen, Kelly Oubre. Real deal out there. Back when he was with Washington, I told you guys, I traded for him. You know, like
didn't Lamont call him a lesbian?
No, first of all, that's not my joke. I wish I could remember the comedian that said Kelly Oubre is my favorite NBA lesbian, because that shit is hilarious. But Kelly Oubre is my guy. He's inconsistent, but I like Kelly Oubre.
The thing about it is that they're gelling. The Warriors are gelling. Like, none of these players are having out of this world seasons. Not Kelly Oubre, not Andrew Wiggins, but Steph is having a great season. He's in the MVP. He's in the MVP conversation. But you know, it's the fact that they are actually gelling. You know, and Draymond Green coming into the mix. He's healthy. He looks good out there. He looks like the old Draymond. I'm not sure how his stats look, But the way they're gelling out there, they know their roles. Kelly Oubre, I love seeing Kelly Oubre drive
that team,
in.
That team is nasty. Wiseman back and Clay back. That team is very nasty, man.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They did a great. But they're not gonna. But the worst.
How are you gonna have that team and then just say, look, you know, what we really need is just, you know, a tall center to go with our team, and then you get the number one pick.
I don't think Kelly Oubre is gonna be there that long. Yeah, with Clay. He's not gonna get a chance to play with Clay. They're gonna get rid of him.
I agree. But that's another reason why I like drafting Andrew Wiggins to the fantasy team, because I knew that like being on the Warriors would give him a specific role where it's basically like, I don't want to say he's a role player, right? But like on fucking Minnesota, they basically was like, you are a second option. He's technically not the second option on the freaking Warriors.
Nah, Oubre is, and then you know, and then he might not even be the third, because Draymond might be the guy, because he's the facilitator. You know, like he kind of starts a lot of the action, gets a lot of things moving. So you're right, he's really not.
How is Kelly Oubre the second option in Golden State? Andrew Wiggins is the second scoring option in Golden State. Andrew Wiggins is averaging 17 points per game, and he's averaging how many shots? Nine shots a game. No, not nine. 13 shots per game. From what I see here,
I think they look for Kelly Oubre to do more though.
No, he's averaging 14. Trusting him to do more, okay, but Andrew Wiggins is definitely the second option in scoring on the Golden State Warriors. He's averaging 14 shots a game, as opposed to Kelly Oubre, who's averaging how many? He's averaging 12 this season, you know, and Kelly Oubre is actually doing less in scoring.
Well,
this season.
They've been giving Wiggins more. They've been giving Wiggins more shots as
Andrew Wiggins is definitely the second option.
As it started, it wasn't.
But the thing about that Golden State Warriors is, and this is what I call the LeBron effect, you know. But Steph is the clear cut. Once you have a clear cut number one on your team, everybody got to fall in line. You know, it doesn't matter what happens after that. You know, now Andrew Wiggins, you can see he's actually taking over as a second option than Kelly Oubre, and they're actually gelling.
I think they're going to trade both Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre next season. If I was Golden State, I would, you know, use those to get like a real true small forward that could play defense and could score, get his own shot. I won't mention any names out there, but they get that, and you know, along with the team that they got, and by then, you know, Draymond would have had like a whole summer, you know, with Wiseman. I really think that Wiseman should go and Draymond should train together over the offseason so that they could because he could put him on to a lot of things that he could be doing, you know, on the squad, and then they come back. That'll be a nasty team.
They definitely need Wiseman to become he's efficient, but a more solid third option once Clay gets back, because Draymond scoring ain't it. Like, even when he's open, he's missing. So it's like they need another threat for the scoring. And with the way Wiseman is right now, that'll be very nice for that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Too bad. All of Golden State Warriors' bigs are out right now, yo. Mm-hmm. All of them. My FIBA team is looking like a fucking hospital, bro. Mike, stop crying.
I didn't realize how much my team needed CJ, because like when I lost to Migs, I was like, all right, understandable. And then like this past like week, I was looking and I was just like, what's going on? And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. CJ's out, and basically it's freaking Harden on my team, just trying to do everything by himself.
Gary Trent Jr. has definitely stepped up in CJ McCollum's spot. Yo, he's averaging like 22 points per game the past three or four games. Yo, whoever picked him up, you gotta be winning right now. I know I am.
I'm so mad about that game.
I'm upset at that of slipping, having that slip by.
Yo, I got him at the right time, and keep your eyes out for who did I just pick up? Oh yeah, Patrick Williams. Keep your eyes out for Patrick Williams.
I did pick him up, and I actually started him last night.
Where you picked him up at? FIBA?
And no, League of Champions. And I'm right now. I'm beating Alex in that New World Order.
All right.
So that's you know, any win that I could get in LOC is gigantic, because that league was built to stop me. But in FBA, ooh.
In FBA, I mean,
sizzling, boy. We sizzling.
I like my chance.
Shout out to Tobias Harris. One of the many Team Chuck members in FBA.
Amazing
numbers.
I love Tobias Harris, but like he could have
him and Doc Rivers. It's just an amazing tandem.
But like, could he have played a little bit better in that Portland game?
The Portland game was a wash.
Like, I know we didn't have Ben Simmons. I know Embiid got hurt a little bit, but like Embiid was the only one playing. I was so mad. I was freaking streaming, and I just kept looking at the score, and like, I was so mad at one point, I died. I got killed by somebody I shouldn't have got killed by in my game.
I'm telling you, that's, you know, it's unfortunate, but that was a wash. Sometimes you're just going to go out there and you're just going to get stomped like that. Mm. But I'm glad that the Bulls, you know, are starting to let their guy, Patrick Williams, mature, because we need him. And Kobe White's been balling too. See, he's a person that I would say, you know, like, look, you know, people should consider him for the All-Star, but it's not reality right now at this point because of how the guards are all set up. You know, like he's just, if anything, he might be considered, you know, if somebody got hurt. But, you know, there are people doing better, you know, putting up better numbers.
All I know is that this guy right here, Bojan Bogdanovic from Utah Jazz. he started off the season so trash. Bro, he started averaging, he's like a 20-point scorer. He came in averaging like 13 this season for the first month. Now he's up to 24 points per game, bro. You know how much of a boost that gives my team?
He had to warm up.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I was holding on during the COVID times where a lot of people were getting postponed, a lot of games were getting postponed. So I was very, very tempted to drop him, but I was holding on, and I said, yo, I drafted him for a reason, and he's actually proving me correct right now. So
I wish you did drop him, because I was looking at him.
I know.
I'd have been like a shark the moment he touched the waiver.
I know a lot of people would love to have him on the team.
You know who I'm going to give a shout out to? That a lot of people needed him, during the drafts in the fantasy leagues, and they just didn't want to take the chance at him, LaMelo Ball. I got him at a very bargain price.
A lot of people did. Everybody who drafted him.
Anyone who did got him at the right moment, but he should have really been taken a lot earlier.
He should have. But nobody was gonna
take him high.
Yeah, nobody drafted him top four. Nobody, you know.
No, you're right.
Once you go past four, it's whatever. Funny.
LaMelo Ball didn't get drafted top four, but Obi Toppin did.
Oh my god!
And now he's swimming with the fishes, yo.
Yeah.
On that note, we should all, you know.
About that time.
That tells you right there. Cut the camera. Let's go home. Let's go home.
At least he's got a sneaker deal. MJ.
That's true.
How you feel about that?
How I feel about that?
MJ's just giving out deals.
I guess MJ sees something. He sees the future, the long game.
He couldn't get LaMelo.
He saw Obi Duncan. He's like, I like dunkers.
Well, no, I think he was going with the New York market. A lot of people would buy based out of, you know, the tri-state. But I think if you're gonna go to New York and you're gonna go with long talent, I could even make an exception. You know, I would understand you trying to sign RJ Barrett.
Isn't RJ
or Emmanuel quickly?
Doesn't RJ already have a sneaker deal?
You know, if anything, before them.
I think RJ is with he's not with Puma. Knox is.
I could have sworn he was with Puma. I thought.
But
I know Kevin Knox.
But it's MJ. So if somebody's on another another shoe deal, you come to them and you tell them my shoe deal will be better.
No disrespect, but all disrespect to Kevin Knox. If Kevin Knox has a shoe deal, RJ Barrett definitely should have a shoe deal, right?
I mean, yeah, that is true. And on that note, fellas, that's it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Coach's Challenge podcast.
Yeah, RJ is with Puma.
He is? Oh, there we go. We will see everybody here next week.
All right.
Shouts out to Carl.
Shout out to the Saturday pod. You know, we trying something new right now. The Saturday pod. Wake up early.
Carl's ordering his Embiid jersey right now.
Yep. And shouts out to our overseer and overlord, Miko.
World with the stack.
He got the whip in his hand right now. He's telling us to wrap it up.
All right,
everybody. Enjoy the weekend.
You too.
You already know.